Loving Father, as we turn to your word now, please show us the kind of people that you want us to be. And please work in us by your Spirit to change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians 2, starting at verse 19.
I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back for you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me.
It's a fact of life that we grow up imitating those around us. So if you grow up in the north, you end up speaking with a northern accent. You say things like grass and castle and bath. If you grow up in the south, on the other hand, you end up speaking properly. If you grow up surrounded by Arsenal supporters, then sadly for you, you're likely to end up supporting Arsenal. If you grow up surrounded by Tottenham supporters, on the other hand, then you'll end up supporting a decent team. More seriously, we're told that those who grow up surrounded by violence and bullying are more likely to become bullies themselves. Those who grow up surrounded by racism are more likely to become racists themselves. Whilst those who grow up surrounded by love and acceptance are much more likely to be loving and accepting. Now, this Father's Day, we thank our fathers for all they've done for us over many years and tell them how much they mean to us. And it's true that boys grow up copying their fathers. Well, until they become teenagers anyway. It's a fact of life that we copy the people around us. We imitate their behaviour and adopt their values. And it's just the same when it comes to living as Christians. Whether we're aware of it or not, you and I can't help but be influenced by the thinking and conduct of those around us. So the question isn't whether we're learning from others. The question is what we're learning and from whom. Well, Paul began this chapter in Philippians by calling us to clothe ourselves with humility. And he pointed us firstly to Christ. He is the ultimate example of a life that's pleasing to God, a life of humble service. Jesus is our supreme role model. And now, having exhorted us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, in other words, to work hard at becoming more and more like Jesus, Paul holds up two more role models for us to follow. Here are two men who embody Christ-like humility, who have adopted the mindset of Christ just as Paul has urged us to do. The first is Timothy, and the second is Epaphroditus. And we're going to look at each of them in turn. So then, firstly, there's Timothy. And what stands out about him, Paul says, is his deep concern for the welfare of others. Our first heading. Please look down at verse 19 again. Paul writes this. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. What a glowing reference that is. Paul and Timothy went back a long way. We know from Acts 16 that Timothy had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. And humanly speaking, Paul had been responsible for Timothy becoming a Christian. Now, he'd been used by God in bringing Timothy to faith in Jesus. And since then, he had been instrumental in nurturing Timothy's spiritual growth and equipping him for ministry. Timothy had become one of Paul's dream team of trusted gospel ministers. He had left his home and traveled with Paul on his missionary journeys, making the good news of Jesus known. And the Philippians knew that he had proved himself, Paul says. They knew what Timothy was like. Now, the word Paul uses is a word that was used to describe the testing of metal by putting it into a furnace. Now, if it were a false alloy, it would dissolve in the heat. But if it were silver or gold, the impurities would be smelted out and it would be made purer as a result. Well, for 10 years, Timothy had been tested and refined in the furnace of gospel ministry. As a son with his father, Paul says, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. And literally, the word means slaved. Timothy had slaved with Paul in the work of the gospel. He had willingly humbled himself to become a slave for Christ. And as a slave, he had given himself wholeheartedly to the work of preaching the gospel, helping people come to faith in Jesus and teaching them to live as his disciples. Now, he knew what it meant to roll up his sleeves and expend energy. He was willing to perform menial tasks, putting in long hours, rising early and staying up late. He was ready to do whatever was required for the gospel to advance. Making Christ known in the world is hard work. Now, there will always be a price to pay if the gospel is to move forward. It was true for Timothy, and it is true for you and me. It requires humility and self-sacrifice, and it's costly. But Timothy was ready for it. And so will you and I be if we will humble ourselves as he did and consider ourselves to be slaves of the gospel. Well, Timothy had slaved hard with Paul for the sake of the gospel. And Paul must have been so glad to have him at his side now as he sat in chains in Rome. And we can't miss the affection he has for Timothy. Spiritually speaking, he says, he's like a son to me. Look at verse 22 again. As a son with his father, Paul says, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Well, by this stage, Timothy may well have been an experienced and tested gospel worker. But he wasn't grasping after status or recognition. He wasn't self-promoting. Rather, he willingly accepted second place as a son with his father, receiving oversight and direction and giving obedience and loyalty in return. That's what humility looks like. It's a willingness to submit to the leadership of another for the sake of the gospel. You and I are proud people by nature. Generally speaking, we don't like to sit under the authority of another and be told what to do. We want to be independent and autonomous. But when, for the sake of the gospel, we humble ourselves and submit ourselves to the authority of others, we bring glory to Christ. That's what Timothy did. In fact, Paul says in verse 20, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone else looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. See, there was no one else like Timothy who consistently put the interests of Jesus before his own. Well, that must be a generalization. But what a sad generalization it is. Everyone else, Paul says, the general mass of Christians, as he sees them, put themselves first and Jesus next. Now, they're more concerned about their own interests, their comfort and their pleasures and their reputations than they are about the cause of Christ. But not Timothy. He consistently put the interests of Jesus before his own. Now, when a volunteer was needed in the church, he would put his hand up when others didn't. When an errand needed running, he would happily go when others wouldn't. When serving others was inconvenient, he didn't complain, though others did. He put serving Jesus first. What an asset he was. And yet it's worth noticing that despite his affection for Timothy, Paul is willing to be without him. See, he gives his friends in Philippi the best he has to give. The man who was dearest to him, Timothy, a man in a class of his own. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. How costly that must have been for Paul. But that's the mindset of Jesus right there. Putting others first, considering their interests before your own. Now, Paul was more concerned for the Philippians than he was for himself. And that's the mindset that Timothy had demonstrated. Look again at verse 20. Paul says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. That's what marks Timothy out from the rest. Now, his devotion to Christ shows itself in his devotion to Christ's people. Now, he is genuinely concerned for the welfare of others. Now, this isn't a superficial concern that gives only an appearance of caring. It's a word that's translated in other places in the New Testament as anxious. It expresses deep emotions. Timothy is anxious for the spiritual welfare of others. Now, he's more concerned for others than he is for himself. He feels burdened for them. And that's why he has served with Paul so sacrificially. His concern for others doesn't spring from a sense of duty or obligation, but from a genuine love for God's people. Here's a man with a humble spirit and a big heart who's proved himself to be a faithful servant of the gospel. He's a worthy role model. And this is what it looks like when someone has the same mindset as Jesus, who made himself nothing and put the interests of others before his own. So here's someone worth copying. Now, as I look back over my life, I can think of numerous people I've known who are just like this, both men and women. People who cared deeply for their fellow believers and gladly put the interests of others before their own. I can think of people who serve sacrificially in the church week after week without ever complaining or drawing attention to themselves. People who gave huge amounts of time to come alongside those in need. People who were fervent in prayer for others. And none of them did it because they had to. They did it because they loved God's people. If you and I are to be like Timothy, we need to ask God to enlarge our hearts and give us a deep concern for his people. We need to ask for grace so that we might care far more for the welfare of others than we care for our own comforts or pleasures. What a great thing to pray for. And what a great encouragement Timothy is. But Paul doesn't just give us one role model to follow, he gives us two. So secondly, there's Epaphroditus. And what stands out about him, Paul says, is that he served others even to the point of death. Our second heading. Let's read on from verse 25. Paul goes on. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Well, Epaphroditus was probably one of the leaders of the church in Philippi, and he had been sent by the church to Paul in Rome, and he had a dual role. He was to bring a financial gift from the church to Paul to help him with his expenses. And he was also to minister to Paul by taking care of his personal needs while he was under arrest in Rome. But while serving Paul, Epaphroditus had become desperately ill to the point of death. News had reached the church in Philippi, and they'd become deeply concerned about him. But God had graciously brought him back from death's door and restored him to health and usefulness. And then once he'd recovered, Paul sent him back to the believers in Philippi with this letter to them that we're studying. And in doing so, Paul was providing the Philippians with another role model to follow, a man they knew well, who would show them what it means to share the mindset of Christ so thoroughly that he was ready to serve even to the point of death. Well, notice how Paul describes him in verse 25. My brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. At one time, Epaphroditus would have been no more to Paul, the Pharisee, than a Gentile dog. Paul would have had nothing to do with him. In fact, he would have gone out of his way to avoid him. But when Christ calls people to himself, he brings us into a new relationship with one another. We become brothers and sisters in God's family. And Paul doesn't just call Epaphroditus a brother, but my brother. A term of deep affection. Once again, Paul is giving the very best he had to give to his friends in Philippi. He's sending back to them a cherished brother and co-worker in the gospel. We are all co-workers in the gospel. All believers are saved to serve. But what's more, Paul says, Epaphroditus is a fellow soldier. The more you and I align ourselves with Christ and the advance of his gospel, the more we will find ourselves on the front line of spiritual warfare. The devil isn't going to oppose someone who's making no impact for the kingdom of God. It's the believer who's working hard for the advance of the gospel, putting their nose to the grindstone, who most often finds themselves under spiritual attack, battling sin and temptation from within and suffering hostility from without. Epaphroditus was Paul's brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. And like Timothy, this selfless man isn't concerned about himself, but about others. Look at verse 26. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. He had been seriously ill. He'd been at death's door. His commitment to the cause of the gospel had almost cost him his life. And yet, as he recovers, he isn't absorbed with self-pity. Rather, he's anxious for his friends. What distresses him is the knowledge that his friends in Philippi are worried about him. He's more concerned about how they are reacting to his illness than about his own health. He's realized that they care for him just as much as he cares for them. When believers share the mindset of Christ, they connect with each other emotionally. They don't hide behind respectable veneers. They open their hearts to each other so that, as Paul writes elsewhere, if one suffers, we all suffer. And if one rejoices, we all rejoice together. And we can see that emotional connection between Paul and Epaphroditus in the next verse. Paul writes, "Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow." If Epaphroditus, Paul's brother and co-worker and fellow soldier, had been taken from him, it would have meant gut-wrenching sorrow for Paul. But Epaphroditus hadn't been taken from him. God had mercifully brought him through it. And now Paul was sending him back to Philippi. Poor Epaphroditus. He'd been sent by the church to Paul in Rome and he'd gone willingly. And now he's being sent back again. And again he goes willingly. Well, that's humility in the service of the gospel. He's willing to go anywhere, do anything, and pay any price for the cause of Christ. He's willing to hold his life in an open hand and let the Lord set the agenda. What an example he is. It's this same kind of humility that each one of us needs. If we are following Jesus, then we have placed our lives under his authority. And we must be willing to go wherever he would send us and do whatever he requires. Are you willing to submit to God's will for your life? like that. Whatever it will take you. Now, whatever he will require. Well, Epaphroditus was. And Paul says in verse 29, people like him deserve to be honored. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. God exalts those who are humble and who serve. In Luke 14, Jesus said, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." It's a message that he clearly wanted to get across, because he repeats himself a few chapters later in Luke 18. He says it again, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Epaphroditus was a humble man and a genuine servant. He gave himself wholeheartedly to the cause of Christ. And Paul exhorts the Philippians to exalt him. And by honoring Epaphroditus, they will be recognizing on earth the true greatness that God is recognizing in heaven. They will be giving honor to whom honor is due. He's an example for every one of us. So then, who are your role models? Now, we all have them. And they'll either be setting you a good example or a bad example. Make sure you choose them carefully. Choose people like Timothy and Epaphroditus, who are imitating Jesus, men and women who put others first and have devoted their lives to the cause of Christ. Spend time with them if you can. Get to know them and learn from them. And then in turn, you will be a good role model for others. And on Father's Day, can I end with a plea to fathers especially? Please pray to God that he would help you to be a godly role model for your children. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for the examples of Timothy and Epaphroditus. Please help us to learn from people like them, who have adopted the mindset of Jesus and are seeking to live lives of humble service. Please help us increasingly to live lives that please you and bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.